You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Just an interesting update on that Warner Brothers Netflix conversation that we had a little earlier. It seems as though following off from that, we've just learnt via Bloomberg that Paramount has made a hostile bid for Warner Brothers at $30 a share. So that seems to be a very fluid conversation, a developing story, and certainly going to present some exciting conversations around that transaction, whether or not it goes through or not. But we move on to the other conversations that we said we would be having today, and that we're taking a look at the luxury market. It seems as though some of the performers in the luxury market haven't been as lackluster as others. In fact, some South African brands in particular have been outperforming some of their global peers where it comes to the second-hand or pre-loved markets. For more on this, we're joined on the line by our expert in pre-loved luxury, co-founder at Luxity, Michael Zahariev, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Michael, lovely to catch up. It's been a while since you and I have spoken. What is the state of the luxury market at the moment? Seemingly, this is a very competitive space.
Yes, and thank you for having me once again on your show. And as you mentioned, the luxury market is a very competitive space and it's forever adapting. And one of the interesting things that we've seen happening this year is really this change away from brand loyalty, but more into brands that hold their return. So what we've seen is this kind of this rise of the savvy luxury investment shopper, where they're looking not only at what brand is the most popular, but at more specifically, if I'm looking to sell my brand down the line, what brand is going to return the more of the money so that I'm able to get some of that money back and reinvest it into the luxury economy. So that's really showing some standouts, particularly in the fashion ateliers space, like Chanel, Hermes, which are a lot have a lot less supply in South Africa, and also in categories like watches and jewelry, which are up phenomenally compared to other spaces because of that ability to hold their value over time.
Now, Michael, when we look at value retention, for the longest time, we have been told that certain luxury brands from certain parts of the world retain more value or retain better value than other brands. But if we look at the performances of some of the local brands, and I want to include Cartier in that brand as a local brand because it was founded by a South African and continues to be owned by Richemont, I want to look at that. I want to look at brands like Browns, and you compare them to international jewelry brands that have existed potentially for equally as long. Are you surprised to see that investors are now saying, hang on, the value retention aspect of it isn't limited to a certain country?
Yes, I think that's the exciting thing. So what we've been able to see, and I mean, it took Luxity 7 years just to, you know, try have a local luxury brand like Browns. We weren't sure if the market was ready for it. We weren't sure if locals really valued them the same as the international heavyweights. So we are quite surprised that when we did launch Browns onto the platform, that it was doing just about roughly 10% less than the heavyweights in the industry, you know, the globally recognized leaders in the jewelry industry. So this has really excited us to see that South Africans do value local brands very close to or in competition with the international brands. You know, it's not just a case of I want the big international names. And we're quite excited to introduce more and more local brands over time. And it speaks to the value of it's not just about the name brand, but it's about the craftsmanship and the legacy, etc. as well.
Michael, what does that then mean for the future of luxury, both locally and internationally? We know that in the world of luxury, it's probably one of the few spaces where pre-loved, as you like to refer to the things that you sell and the commodities that you sell, that pre-loved market in the luxury space can often eclipse the new market in very many aspects. What does that mean for the future of that world if the focus is now shifting very clearly to quality over just name?
Well, I think there are so many shoppers that are starting to awaken to this idea of pre-owned or pre-loved luxury that the future is really endless. And when we look at it, I think, an analogy is quite a good one to look at is that the pre-owned luxury space globally right now is about 5% of the new sector. Now, if we compare that to a more established sector such as the car industry, where at one stage there also wasn't a pre-owned segment, but now the pre-owned segment in the car industry is roughly 2.5 times the new segment. So it just shows you of how much growth there is still to have in this market and how consumers are starting to find many different ways to benefit from this, not just for a discount, but for accessing limited edition pieces, accessing rarer pieces, using it for trading, which is often why it trades at more than new. So it's really exciting time of growth, and we're set to see many, many more changes across the pre-owned luxury segment specifically.
One thing about consumers is they will always tell you what they consider important to them. And for some, investing in luxury is important in whatever shape or form it does take. I think for now we'll leave this conversation on that note. Thank you so much to the co-founder at Luxity, Michael Zahariev, for joining us to reflect on the state of the luxury market in South Africa and how it ranks globally.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.